Hello again, this is Dolores Cannon with the Metaphysical Hour. Back on live again. I was going to have a guest tonight, but we haven't been able to work it out. The one man I think I told you about when I came back from my trip to Australia and New Zealand, he's the most famous psychic in New Zealand, and he is absolutely wonderful. And I had emailed him to try to get him on, and we were trying to take into consideration the difference in the dateline and the time zones and all of that. And it didn't work out for this week, but I'm going to see if I can have him on next week. And I guess I could put it on the website, because some of you may want to call in when I have him, because he is very accurate, and he is, like I said, he's the most famous one in that part of the world. Okay, but tonight we're going to just be me. I've got some things I'm going to talk about. But first, let me give out the toll-free number, just in case anybody does want to call in. The number is 877-876-5227. 877-876-5227, just in case anybody does want to call in. Okay, before I get started on my topic tonight, I do want to remind everybody that we are still having the special on my new book. It's at the printers now, and we're expecting it to be out by the first week in February. That's the way it looks right now. We're hoping everything is on schedule. And the whole time I was gone, and up till now, on my website, we've been having a special, a pre-publication special on it, to where people can get the book at $4 cheaper than it will be when it comes off the press. And last week when I told people that we were still honoring the pre-publication special for the price until it comes off the press. And last week when I announced that, all week we have just been had so many orders coming in on the internet from all over the world. So I guess people out there are listening to me. I never know, because I said I'm sitting here talking to the wall, and I never know if anybody can hear me or not. But if anybody is still interested in it, we won't take it off the website until it does come off the press the first week of February. And it's going to be $18, and it's selling for $14 now on the website. Okay. And the website is www.OzarkMountain, the name of my company. And that's abbreviated, OzarkMT.com. Or for those of you in other countries, it's OzarkMT.com, just in case anybody's interested. And also, I do want to have a few words about the classes. I have some classes coming up very soon, and what's that? What was that? What was that? That was really weird. Maybe it's something in the studio. Sounds like a little gremlin in the phone. Maybe that's what it is. A little gremlin is in the phone playing tricks with us. It sounds like... Okay. All right, everybody out there. I don't know. I think we have a little gremlin playing with our lines. I hope you're still listening. I don't even remember where it was, but I was talking about the website and the special on the book, and all of a sudden there was this real weird sound came across the line. It sounded like a little gremlin in there laughing. It was a sound like hee-hee-ow, hee-hee-ow, like that, electronic laughing. And then all of a sudden I was disconnected. So I guess we've got some little things going on here. Either that or I thought it was something in the studio, but he said no, they didn't know what happened. All of a sudden it just went quiet. So we will see. We'll see if somebody is fooling around in my little telephone here. You know, I work with a lot of strange energies in my work anyway, so it's hard to say what could be happening. I don't know where I was there, but I'm going to try to pick up again and recap what I was talking about. I did tell everybody the website number name, if you want to check on there, about the special on the books. Also, I was starting to talk about my classes. Now, in my hypnosis classes, I'm teaching the hypnosis technique that I have developed, and it is different than any other hypnosis technique out there, because I've developed it myself. Over 30 years, it's taken me that long to perfect it. And in this technique, if you know my books, I have found a way to access the subconscious mind, which we can get all access to all information. And when I do this with clients, we can have instantaneous healing of anything, all kinds of physical problems, and it's a way to work everything out. I only have to see the person one time, just one session. So it's a very valuable form of hypnosis and to help a great deal of people. I'm teaching this all over the world. When I was in Australia and New Zealand, I taught 4 classes. I trained over 120 people. Now we're going to have some more classes coming up if anybody is interested. In the beginning, I had it to where you had to be a hypnotist because I didn't know if anybody else could understand it. But then I found out that those who have had years of hypnosis training are more hindered than the other people because many of them don't want to change what they have already learned. I always tell people when I start my class, I want you to forget everything you've been taught. We're going to learn a totally new method. So I began having people coming to me who were begging. They said, can we please take this class? We want to learn this. They were into all kinds of healing modalities. So now I have, you know, changed the regulations in the last couple of years, and anyone who is into Reiki, energy work, any kind of healing modalities, if you really want to help people, you can take this class. And I found that those people are able to learn it much easier because they don't have to unlearn all the old training techniques. And people all over the world that I've trained are emailing me and saying they're having the same fantastic results that I am having. So if you're interested in the classes, the next one is going to be in Los Angeles. This is I don't have the calendar in front of me, but it is the middle of February. So see, it's coming up. And it'll be, we haven't got the venue yet, but we're thinking it's going to be out by LAX, by the airport. It'd be easier for people that are flying in. And we're putting that together now. There's somebody out there who's arranging all of this. If you're interested in that class, contact our office, either with the email on the website, or you can contact us directly. The phone number is 1-800-935-0045. 1-800-935-0045. And I'll be doing the class in LA, and then I'm going on to the Laughlin UFO conference immediately following that. The next class is going to be in March. And that's going to be about the middle. Okay, guys, I can't figure out what in the world is happening, and neither can the radio station. We just keep being disconnected. Because, you know, we're on the telephone, but usually you'll hear a click when it's disconnected, and that's not happening. It's just all of a sudden the phone is not working. And they said they don't understand it. They don't think it's on their end. But I can tell I'm just talking away, and all of a sudden that little voice comes in and says, if you would like to make a call. And I was thinking, wait a minute, we're not connected anymore. So I have no idea where I cut off that time. They said they switched to a different line, so maybe we'll be able to keep going the rest of the show. If not, we'll just have to... I'll just see what we can do, and then we'll, if it happens again, we'll just have to stop until something if we can figure out what's going on. Okay. But I was talking about the class in L.A. I hope all you got all of that, where we're going to be doing the class in Los Angeles, hopefully out by LAX, the middle of February. Then I'll be doing the class in Arkansas, in Fayetteville, Arkansas, the middle of March. And I was saying, the one I'm very proud of is they have asked me to do the class at the University of Santa Fe, University of New Mexico in Santa Fe. And they said, this is very unusual. I thought that how would they let somebody teach hypnosis, past life regression, at a college? And they said, the University of Santa Fe is offering now, they've had this now, I think, for 2 years, a 4-year course in alternative medicine and natural medicines, all of this. They're going to have a 4-year course, and when the student finishes the 4-year course, they will have a BS, Bachelor of Science, in natural medicines and different modalities. And I think this is fascinating. They said this is a real step forward. They're the only college in the United States offering this kind of thing. They're going to be teaching herbology, about herbs. They're going to teach homeopathy, aromatherapy. I think he said acupuncture, all the different modalities of natural healing. So they want me to give my class there also. And they said this could turn into where I will be teaching there every semester. So this, I think, is a groundbreaking thing that these people are doing in New Mexico. And they're hoping maybe other universities will pick us up and start teaching the same thing. So I'm on the ground floor of something very big that's going to be happening out there. And I'm very proud to be involved with them. And I'm going to be doing that in April at the University of New Mexico. So there'll be more about that. If you want to check on these classes, and I have more scheduled, I think I must be going to do about 10 or 12 classes the whole year, everywhere. And these classes are listed on my website. So if you're interested in these, contact my website or the 800 number, 1-800-935-0045, to get more information about it. But the one that will be the first will be the one in L.A. That's the one we're concentrating on at this present time. Okay, let's just hope we can stay on the air now and not get knocked off again by my little gremlins playing tricks here. I don't know where you guys are, but here it's very cold. I'm sitting here in front of my fireplace going because the price of propane is now up to $2 a gallon. I just had my tank filled up when I got back from Australia. So I've got it set real low, and I'm burning the fireplace to, you know, save on the propane. Might as well, up here where I live in Arkansas, my house is all surrounded by acres of woods. So we've always used it, but I think now it's going to be essential, especially when we had a big cold snap coming down from Canada that's going to be very cold for the next 2 or 3 nights. So I've been dropped back into winter anyway. All right, but I know you guys listening in Australia, there it's summertime. So that's a big difference. And when I was over there, I was surprised to find that there are people over there that are listening. And these rash of orders that have come in on the new book, people said they're listening even in Switzerland and other parts of Europe. So that to me is amazing because I'm sitting here talking to this blank wall. Okay. What I wanted to talk about tonight, and I'm hoping we can get it in the rest of this time without being interrupted, is cloning. Now, this has been very big on the news in the last day or so. A lot of you have probably been hearing about it, where they're talking about, they're finally admitting it, that they have been able to successfully clone a human being. Now, they're talking about it in the very fundamental stages. That these doctors, they said they could do this because they were not using government money. They were privately funded, so the government couldn't keep them from experimenting. Although I can bet you they aren't the only ones out there. Because I'm going to tell you some things that are not normally known anyway. But they said that the doctor, one of the cells they used, he took his own skin cells to reproduce and to clone in these, they said they turned into embryos. They're not really embryos. It is the very, very beginning to where they're only like 4 or 5 days old, where it's just beginning to cluster and it's not really an embryo. But they said it was the beginning of cloning a human being. And they say they destroyed them after 4 or 5 days. You can believe that if you want, but they said they were at the stage that if they had been implanted into a woman's womb, they would have grown into a baby, and the baby would be an exact copy of the donor. And the doctor on the TV, you might have saw this, and he was looking in the microscope, he said it was the strangest feeling to be looking at himself. He said as though being able to go all the way back in time to when he was first developing inside his mother. This would what he would have looked like in the very beginning stages, and it was a very strange feeling. But they were admitting this is the first time officially that it has been done. Now, I tell you, though, from what I have found in my work, and I've got a lot of information from my work with Nostradamus way back 20 years ago, and the ETs and the other work I've done, they've all told me the same thing, is that human cloning was perfected as long as 20 or 30 years ago, maybe even longer ago than that. It has just been kept secret, and nobody knows about it because they don't want people to know about it. They were always worried about the uproar. What would people think to think they were duplicating human beings in this way? But it has been going on for a long time. And I remember back, how many years ago was it that Dolly the sheep was cloned? And look at all the uproar that brought on, to think they could artificially make a mammal. And at that time when they were announcing it, I was thinking then, who are you kidding? You know you perfected this a long time ago. But they were doing it in that way just to drop the little seeds to get people knowing about it and to get their reaction with an animal, because they didn't want to just come up and say, you know, they have been able to duplicate human beings. But I know this has happened many, many years ago. And after Dolly the sheep, you know, then they went on, they have all these other animals they've cloned, and they have been cloning extinct animals and animals that are in danger of extinction. So it's becoming quite common now. And then the other night they were talking about pigs and cows using their clones for meat and be introducing it into the food chain. So they said that's a little controversial at this point, and that the ranchers may want to use the cloned animals as breeding stock rather than food. So it's beginning to become more common in our communication chain, I guess you would say, to where maybe we wouldn't be as shocked when they would finally announce that finally they've been able to do a human being. But the information that I received in my books on Nostradamus, 20 years ago, one of the quatrains was relating to cloning. And they said that this was started way back in the days of Hitler in World War II. That's how long ago human beings have been experimenting with this. If you remember, in World War II, it was all about the super race, making people better and bigger and more dominant, the super race. So they were doing a lot of things that were very unethical at that time, trying to produce super people. Well, they said at that time, they did turn to experimentation. A lot of it was not very nice, because they did a lot of very terrible things. Maybe that's one of the reasons why this was kind of clouded in controversy. But they were experimenting at that time with the very beginnings of the genetic manipulation and cloning. Well, after the war was over, they announced all of this had been stopped and was just pushed under the carpet again. Do you really believe that? Do you think if scientists were making advances and were going ahead and making discoveries, they would all of a sudden just stop it? That's what I was told, that it's been continuing in secret ever since the late 40s. And it was perfected a long time ago. But they said, how are you going to know? They said, the only way you would know nowadays, they said, would be if a 17-year-old girl, for instance, went to the Inquirer and announced, I am a clone. Because there wouldn't be any way to tell the difference. Clones look just like anybody else. They are human beings. And how many people do you know who their children look just like their parents? There's many like that. They have the same facial characteristics to where people say, oh, you're the spitting image of your dad or your mom. They look just exactly alike. So nobody is going to know any difference, because they are just regular functioning people. And this has been going on at least that long. 20, 30 years ago was perfected, and it has been happening everywhere. It's just been kept underground and secret. And I've been asked questions about this. I covered some of this in my book, The Convoluted Universe, Book 2, when I was talking about cloning and about the different aspects of it, that the churches say that if it was a clone, it would be like a soulless human being. I guess they're thinking more or less like some kind of a Frankenstein monster or something, that it would not have a soul in it, it wouldn't be alive. Well, that's not true. The soul does not matter, doesn't matter to the soul what kind of a vehicle is produced. The spark of life will enter anything as long as it can live in it. It doesn't matter to it how the vehicle is produced. You may be surprised to know they have already found over 200 ways to produce a baby outside of the normal, natural way of producing a baby. This goes along with test tube babies and all of that, but they said there's over 200 ways of producing a baby without cloning. So, are these bodies that don't have souls in it? The soul doesn't care. It just knows, okay, I'm assigned to this vehicle. When this vehicle is born, I will enter the body, and that will be the same. It definitely has the soul living within it. It is connected with God. The only difference is that man made the body instead of the natural way with a man and woman and with the sperms and all of that. That's other ways of doing it. It's just a different way of producing a vehicle, but it does have a soul living within it. Now, one thing about clones, with a human being, they will never, ever be an exact duplicate of the mother or the father or the donor, whichever one that they have used the cells from. It will never be an exact duplicate. It will look like it physically. It could be an exact copy. But the soul that enters will be different. It will have its own experiences. It will have its own karma it's working out. It will have its own things that it's looking for. Because you cannot duplicate that soul that is in the donor. All you're doing is duplicating the physical vehicle. In that way, it could never be a total copy, except for the physical outside. The inside will be totally different. Just like twins, they have two different souls, even though they look exactly alike. So I want to clear that up, because a lot of the churches and them are thinking this is something totally against God. It's not. It's just another way of producing a vehicle. Okay. Now, when Nostradamus brought this up in the quatrain, he said it was because the government is, like I said, it's been going on for 20, 30 years or more. One of the reasons why it's being kept secret is because the government is cloning for a different reason. They've gone far beyond just to do it for experiments. They are trying to produce soldiers that are different. They're trying to produce war machines. And Nostradamus told us, by altering one chromosome, you can turn a normal person into a criminal or into a fighting machine. And this is what they are doing. They are turning these clones into soldiers that would just be fighting machines, incapable of feeling. And that's why our cloning is being taken in a totally different direction than where it should be. So believe me, there's a lot more happening out there than we know, that we're being told. Of course, with the type of work I do, we're able to find the answers to anything. So there's a lot of things that we're being told that the average person doesn't know about. In my work, a lot of times they give me information and they'll say, you can know this, but you're not allowed to talk about it, lecture about it, or write about it. It's just for you to know for your own information. So there's a great deal of things that have come out in my work anyway. But this is one of them, that the government has been cloning for many, many years, and they're trying to perfect this type of soldier. Only in this last book, my last one to come out, Convoluted 3, we were told they are also now trying to clone a soldier who would be resistant to terrorist-type activity, like poison gas and those kind of things, and germs, and whatever any kind of a terrorist would want to have, like gas or germs, bombs, or whatever, but that the government is perfecting soldiers that will be resistant to any type of chemical or biological attack. But what I was told is that they're overstepping the line because they don't understand when you go fooling around with nature, it will backfire on you. Now, normal cloning is different, but when you start trying to readjust the genes, trying to readjust the DNA to produce this type of a person, then you're going against the laws of nature. And they said even if they could produce a soldier who would be resistant to biological and chemical warfare, the body would fight back, and it would end up turning it on itself. And it may even end up creating diseases that were unknown to the world and have it spread throughout the world. So it's not a very wise thing to fool around with this kind of stuff. This goes along with what I found with Atlantis when I was doing the information with Atlantis and how that civilization went down. And one of the reasons they told me you must write about this, the world must know about it, because it says you're going down the same path again, and it cannot be allowed. You're overstepping the bounds of nature, going against the laws of nature, and it cannot be allowed. Because one of the things Atlantis did wrong was when they were manipulating genes and fooling around with the DNA. I think I've mentioned before how Atlantis were working with crystals, crystal power, They had reached the point where they could heal. They had even got to the point where they wouldn't die unless they wanted to. They had done a lot of very good things, and they powered their cities and the civilizations with crystal power, and they had got it to the heights that we hadn't even begun to think about the heights that they had gone with their technology. And they were using their minds in miraculous ways. They could lift stones. They could move stones with their minds. I think I told you before that was the way the pyramids were built and a lot of the large structures, by moving the stones with their minds. They could do anything with their minds. And it got to the point, after civilization of Atlantis went on for thousands of years, and I think by this time, they began to get bored. They had conquered everything, all the obstacles. They had a perfect civilization. There was nothing they couldn't do. So I think they got bored. I think the same thing would happen to human beings, too. They get to the point where they're bored. Now what are we going to do? So they began fooling around with things they had no business fooling around with. And part of it was wanting more and more crystal energy, which ended up causing part of the explosions and the earthquakes that took the civilization down. But they told me one of the biggest things they did was manipulating the laws of nature. They were fooling around with the genes and the DNA, and they were combining animal and human DNA. And this led to half animal, half human beings. And all of the legends that have come down to us in Greek and Roman times, of the centaurs, the half man, half horse, the minotaurs, half a bull and half human, the mermaids, the harpies, which were half bird, all of these old legends that have come down to us about half man, half animal, they said were real. They did not originate in the Greek and Roman times. They originated in the Atlantean times. And they were experimenting with this. And at first it was just like a fun thing. Let's just see what we can do. And I think it's in Convoluted Universe Book 1. I have a whole section on Atlantis. And we talk about how they first developed these. And in the beginning, they were treated very kindly. They used them as servants. And half cow, half human, and it was just a very fun thing that they were fooling around with. But they said, this is totally against the laws of nature. You cannot do this. You can't manipulate and change what is set into motion. You can't fool around with the DNA. So they said that was one of the main reasons that the civilization had to fall, because they were breaking the laws of nature. Then all the other things added to it. And they said, you must know these things because you're going down the same road again. Now, you know, we have been experimenting by introducing human genes into animals. You probably heard of this. One of the first ones was when they introduced the human genes into pigs. And they said they did it so that they would have the organs from the pigs to transplant into human beings. And if it had, you know, the human body will reject anything that is foreign to the body. But if the organs had human cells in them, the body would not reject it, but it would accept it. So they could be used as transplanting. The heart, the kidneys, the liver, and the pigs into the humans. This was what they were doing. And they have perfected this. And they were moving on it. They were really going to go ahead and do the transplanting. Then this one doctor, one scientist came up and said, you know, maybe we better wait and examine this a little longer because we don't know what's going to happen here. They said, yes, you can handle pigs. You can eat the pork and nothing happens. But what would happen if you put the organ in the body and the blood is going through the organ? Maybe something else will happen. And he said, we could have a disease occur from this strange situation that there would be no cures for. So the doctor began telling them, let's wait. Let's do a little more experimenting before we do this, because we have no idea what we're dealing with here, and we could set off something we couldn't control. So they waited for a while. Now the word is out that they're not waiting any longer. They're going to start using it. They're going to start transplanting the organs into the human bodies. So, but what I've been told in my work, they say, they don't know what they're fooling with. They're going to go it into something they can't handle. And they did say the possibility of unknown diseases by combining these different genes. Now, that's the first step. Who knows where it'll go from there? Are we going to go down the route that Atlantis went down? I don't know. But this is something I think they better think long and hard about, because they said this is what destroyed the great civilization of Atlantis, overdoing cloning and using it for the wrong purposes. And also, the ETs, when my work with them, you know, I wrote the book, The Custodians. I've been talking a little bit about these different books as we go along. There's still a lot of my books on information that I haven't even begun to tell you. But in The Custodians, when I worked for 20 years on UFO cases and abductions, I got a lot of information from the ETs. Now, they have stopped reproduction the way we do a long, long time ago. They said we're one of the oddities in the universe because we still use sexual reproduction. They think it's quite amusing. They said, we're almost like two separate species, the male and the female, and they think it's very funny. But they don't use sexual reproduction. In fact, they don't even have any organs. A lot of their organs in their bodies have atrophied because they don't use them anymore. And a lot of the way they reproduce is with cloning. They don't do it unless they need to. Of course, this is a big answer to overproduction. Overpopulation, they don't reproduce unless they really have to. Now, sometimes if something were to happen to one of them, an accident or something, they could reproduce the exact copy of the body they had just left. And then it would be up to the soul. Did the soul want to enter the new vehicle, the new body, to continue on with what it was doing? Or if it decided not to, it would go on to a different type of life on another planet or somewhere else. But they are able to reproduce their bodies with cloning. And there's a great deal of information of how that is done. So this is very common knowledge to the ETs. And they've been doing this for a very long time. Back eons. And that is a lot of the way we were formed in the very beginning with the manipulation of cells and genes to produce a human being. It took a great deal of experimentation to get something that would grow in this primeval soup on this world. And they did the same with animals too. But they said never would they have thought of mixing the two. We try to keep it separate. But they do the cloning. They have other ways they reproduce, but they have perfected it a long time ago. So that's why they know where we're headed, and they're setting out warnings also. But, you know, being human beings, we're curious. We want to try these things. We want to do the experiments like they're doing, like everybody else is doing. What will happen if, you know, it all goes back. How many years, over 100 years or more, that the Frankenstein monster stories first began? Look how long ago mankind has been fascinated with producing life, with creating life out of nothing. That's the amazing thing. Look how far back that goes, where they tried to create life. Now, the scientists have found out, they know the ingredients it takes to make life. They have all kinds of theories of how life was created in the beginning. How did it first start? They know the circumstances, the situation, the primeval soup, the chemicals, the atmosphere. They know what it takes to to make life, but they've not been able to spark it. They've not been able to introduce that spark of life into it. They said they would get something where they could make cells and start them to grow, but they've not been able to introduce the spark of life. The only way they can do it is with cloning of the human cells, because that carries all the information. And then, of course, if it was produced into a baby, it would be up to a soul whether it wanted to inhabit that body. So it's very tricky, but science has been fascinated by this going all the way back, 100 years or more ago. It seems to be a human fascination, and it won't stop. But before I end this subject on this, I want to bring up a friend of mine who has found a way to do this. Now this, let me get a drink of water here. I have a very good friend who is a scientist. He's been working for many, many years on the stem cell research and the cloning of the cells, mostly to help people for the body. Oh, I forgot. That was what they said on the news, too, whenever the scientists have announced that they have cloned the first human being. They said not to worry, they weren't going to let it develop into a baby because they were only developing this so it could be used in humans to create organs for the humans to use and transplant. That was what they said the purpose of it was. Now you can take that or leave it. But this friend of mine, he's a scientist who's been working many years on this same thing. And he has come up with the answer, and he has the patents. So any of these scientists who are working on this now with the cloning of the stem cells and trying to reproduce this are going to have to go to him because he has the patents, and they're going to have to work with him if they're going to do this. Now, when I've talked to him, of course, I don't understand a lot of this, but he spent long periods of time trying to explain to me exactly what he was doing. And when you get into science and mathematics and all of this laboratory stuff, I get totally lost. All I know is that he knows what he's doing. And he left the university where he was teaching and developing this in a laboratory so he could do it on his own. And what he has found, he said he didn't want to take an embryo, the stem cells from an embryo, because that they always say that kills the embryo, and that's where the controversy comes in with the church and with people. He said he never wanted to kill anything, so he found a way to do it without killing an embryo. And it involves taking the person's own cells of their own body and reusing that and duplicating that, which sounds a lot like what this other doctor has discovered. But he said he had found a way to take the person's own cells and treat them in such a way that they can reintroduce these cells into the human body, and it can cure cancer. It can cure any disease that is in the body by using the person's own cells. He said that's the difference. That's where the controversy can't touch this, because they are not taking an embryo and destroying the embryo. The other technical parts he completely lost me on, but he does know what he's doing, and he has gotten several patents now for this. But he said if you take the person's own cells, and the person has cancer or something, some other disease, you can take these cells in his laboratory. You can treat the person's cells. You can alter the genetic structure and then reintroduce these cells into the human body, and it can cure the disease. So this would be absolutely remarkable if he can get this into the mainstream, because it would mean the cure of just about any disease out there. But the problem is, look what he's fighting. Be fighting the government, which naturally wouldn't want everybody to be cured. be fighting the pharmaceuticals, who wouldn't want everybody to be cured, and the churches, who wouldn't understand it. So I told him that you're going to have a long way to go before you can get this off the ground. He tried to do it with his own mother. His mother was in the hospital dying of cancer, and he talked to the hospital officials about trying this experiment on her. And they said no, they wouldn't allow it because it's not been proven and it must be the first time it had ever been done. But he said there was no way he could hurt her because he would just be re-injecting her own cells back into her body. So there would be no way he could harm her. But, you know, the hospital worries about all being sued and they don't want to try anything that's different. So they wouldn't allow him to do it. But he has found, I think, a real breakthrough. And this other doctor sounds like he's there, maybe on the same route. There's probably something different here. I can't understand it, but other scientists probably could. But he explains that he said he's worked a long time on it and he knows what he's doing with this. This could be the answer to many, many of these things. And it would be very positive use of cloning of cells. I told him, I said, I really expect you to win the Nobel Prize. And I said, I want to be there when you get it. Because it was only a year or so ago, this Japanese scientist claimed that he had been able to duplicate the stem cells and doing the same kind of work that my friend is doing. And they found out he had faked his research. And I said, if they gave him a Nobel Prize, I said, you can get it because you have really found the answer. So we'll see what happens anyway. But right now, he is looking for investors in his company to continue with his research. And I think anybody else who is working on this is going to have to come to him because he has the patents. We'll see what happens anyway. I have so many fascinating friends all over the world that I'm just so honored that I know these people. And I know they're real, and I know the work they're doing. And I'm just pleased to be involved with all of this, with these different scientists. Because I told you before that I'm working with a group of doctors in Moscow who are trying to unite the healers of the world. And they said they don't want any fakes. They want the real thing. They want real herbalists, natural medicine, all of the different modalities, the natural types of healing. They're trying to organize this and unite it all over the world. These are regular medical doctors in Moscow who have gone over to this because they believe this is the answer, is not the medical with the drugs, but the natural ways. And they've asked me to help with that in the United States here, too, to see what I can find and help them put together. I've already passed the information along to several other doctors that I've met in my work who are wanting to go into the natural healing. So this is the way it's going. And the doctor in Moscow that I was working with, Dr. Galperin, told me that they did a survey of the United States in the year 2000. And they wanted to find out how many people in the United States believed in natural healing as compared to the orthodox medical profession. They said there were 42% of Americans believed in natural healing and used it in some form or another. Herbs, different types, or whatever modality it is, it was 42% of Americans actually believed in it and used it. And I told them, that's an awful big percentage. I said, they don't let us know that in the United States, that they're that big of a percentage. He said, these are the statistics, and this is what they found. So this modality, this belief is growing in America. It's growing faster than anybody knows. There is more of this underground, and it's getting ready to erupt. And I think that's where the medical profession, especially the pharmaceuticals, are worried, because they can see the handwriting on the wall that people are no longer trusting the drugs. They know there's other ways to be healed. And in my work, I've found a lot of it deals with the mind, because you make yourself sick. If you make yourself sick, you can also heal yourself. This is where it's all headed. And I've had other people on the show, other doctors who are into this, the one I had about autism, how it could be cured with diet. So I'll have more as I come across this. So I'm very much involved in all of this, and I think it's important to pass it along to the people out there. Okay, I hope you got most of the show. We had the little gremlins in the beginning part, so I hope a lot of you stayed with me so you could finish the rest of the show anyway. But anybody who is interested in the pre-publication special on my book, The Convoluted Universe Book 3, or if you're interested in signing up for my classes, check out the website, www.ozarkmt.com, ozarkmt.com for you and other countries. Our call or 800 number, 1-800-935-0045, for more information about the classes, my schedules. If you want private sessions, everything, you can find it out on the website. Okay, everybody stay warm here in America anyway. And thank you. I'll talk to you next week. All right, bye-bye.